What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to play How Much Weight Did Danny Gain for our double play at 345.
Oh, yeah.
There was weight gained by me. So the last time I saw you, gents, was Thursday of last week? No, that was Christmas. So before that, whatever it was.
So 5 days?
Yeah.
About a week.
So really a week
of
plus.
Lethargy and eating.
Yes. Various places, delicious
steering
food.
Your mouth onto any loose cracker, cookie, piece of cheese, leftover food.
The finest foods that you can eat. Awesome. Great time.
Holiday grazing.
And I have paid mightily. The number on the scale is bigger. We'll play How Much Weight Did Danny Gain? All the contestants will be able to guess and ask questions. And closer to the pin, of course, wins. The real loser, though, in all of it, of course, is me and my terrible metabolism. That is 345. 4 o'clock, we Beltway Blitz. 5 o'clock, the people's running back, Bill, joins the program for his weekly spot. Grant Paulson is out. Steve Zabin is in. And I am Fanny Mouye, a.k.a. Randy Douye, hanging out with you guys until 6:30 tonight. So, Zabe, you turned me on to this. I generally don't have a very good filter for it. And this is me, I guess, kind of explaining myself for a second. Then I'll tag you in.
You have Commander's myopia?
To a degree, I have some Baltimore association. My in-laws are from Baltimore. My brother and sister-in-law are big Ravens fans.
Mm-hmm.
I have a, I don't know if it's a soft spot. I don't have the venom that some Washington fans have for the Ravens specifically.
Yeah.
But I will say, so I'm on the periphery kind of not fandom for that, you know, whether they win or lose, whatever. But it's I have a respect generally for the organization where I feel like they're pretty smart, pretty well run. They do a thing that I'm always envious of. It's my Terrell Suggs corollary, where everybody goes, he only runs a 4.7. I don't think so. Last in the first round, they go, we'll take him.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what he does well.
Yeah.
And I feel like they do that as good or better than anybody.
Well, that's why I would always check any sort of smack talk towards the Ravens, because they were so much better run than anything. Even the best Dan Snyder year.
Yeah.
You really had no room to talk.
Without a doubt.
But I know a nice smattering of half dozen or so true Raven fans. And I've played golf with them a number of times. And I'm always fascinated to put quarters in their jukebox to get their opinions while playing golf about Lamar and about Harbaugh. So in a way, I'm more attuned to what's going on. And I just saw this week somebody had tweeted that, well, they still don't know if Lamar is going to play on Sunday. And that it could be a coming together, a coming at the heads between him and Harbaugh. Harbaugh is very much on the hot seat, really, for the first time in a while now. There's always been rumblings, but now it's really gotten hot. And so I just saw that. I go, this could be interesting to talk about. On the one hand, a guy like him, two-time MVP, should be tearing the locker room apart saying, of course I'm going to play, right? Why is this even a thing? He left the game when we last saw him with an ouchie on his lower back. And I know it can be bad. But you've had a full week off. This is now coming to it. Aren't you going to at least give it a try? But he's got so much leverage, Danny, because of this deal, that he may be using this as a way to kind of leverage Harbaugh out if they don't win and if they miss the playoffs. He's got a cap hit of $74 million next year.
Which is untenable. And that was
always... Cannot be eaten.
Yeah, that was always kind of the, whatever you want to call it, the poison pill or sort of the... Everyone understood something else was going to happen at that point.
It's an exit ramp, but it's only an exit ramp if the player cooperates with you. Otherwise, it is a cement barrier that you're going to run into head first as a team. Because all he has to do is fold his arms and say no if he doesn't want to renegotiate. And as far as trades goes, he has a full no trade clause.
In 2 years at $74.5 million is the cap hit for 2026 and 2027.
So that's split in two, so it's 30.
No.
74 plus 74?
Yeah, 74 plus 74. Right? And so, but just
to finish
my qualifier, I always feel like there's always kind of something where if you're paying attention to it loosely, This Wednesday, he's on the injury report. I'm not talking about right now, but in general, this Wednesday, he's missing practice because he's sick. And it happens way more to him than anybody else. And there's always kind of a little something, and there's always a little bit of annoyance, but as you said, plays at an MVP level, should have won the MVP last year, in my opinion, shouldn't have won it 2 years ago when he did, so we ended up in a good place. Point is, he's excellent. He's in that elite group of three or four where he plays, they win 65-70% of the time.
With
he's
amazing. One very crucial caveat, and that is, when the mountain gets steepest near the peak, he turns into a pumpkin.
That's postseason, yep.
That his biggest game stakes moments, you're like, bro, what are you doing? Like the pick he threw, his game was still viable last year in the playoffs, and he threw into like triple coverage, easily picked off. And you look at that play and go, okay, something is not making sense here. Doesn't help that his coach is also not the best when it comes to big game spots. So while I think it might make sense to move on from Harbaugh, if I'm the Ravens, I still want to keep Lamar, but I got to know what his deal is. And he's been so hard to get a handle on because he's just different. Very few guys are doing their own deals. In fact, nobody's doing their own deals but him and his mom. And yet, he's also not really into being a celebrity. Do you ever see him on social media? Do you ever see him in the typical circles, celebrity circles, as other stars of his nature would be? No. He's just a guy that likes to play football, chill, play video games, maybe too much video games, and doesn't want to pay for an agent. So how do you then scope that guy up?
Well, so in doing a little bit of reading here on this, because again, I generally tune it out as the standard noise when the season isn't going great. This has happened before. And my Ravens family, Ravens friends, you know, kind of to your point, are, you know, sort of like this is the background noise associated. The same way, there's a standard operating procedure amount of noise in Philadelphia.
Yes.
For an 11-win team, everybody yes. sure is miserable, right? Oh, now, yes. Last year, oh, I can't believe this is a disgrace. The coach is yelling at fans, and they're this and that. Super Bowl, they're great, no problem, right? They're a really well-run organization, but there's a requisite amount of noise and distraction. I just sort of tuned it out.
Yeah.
I wasn't really focused on this. And again, now doing some reading. There's a growing frustration. There's a sentiment now, whether that's leaked from the organization, whether that's great, you know, boots on the ground journalism, digging up sources and finding what you can find. I don't know which. I don't really care. But you got a story now that says there's more frustration with a multi-time MVP, a guy, again, that when he plays, they win more than 70% of their games.
Yeah.
He hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. Right. Neither have a lot
He's
of guys.
He's gone as far as Josh Allen.
Yeah, a lot of guys haven't because Pat Mahomes is in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Now, not this year. This would be a crime to not be in the postseason in a year that he won't be there, and neither will Joe Burrow for that matter.
By the way, sidebar, who are you rooting for Sunday night to close the season? The Steelers and Rodgers or the Ravens and Lamar? Can you not root for either one?
Yeah, I don't need to see the Steelers win.
They're a hard watch.
That's kind of where I'm at on that. Yeah. I'm good on them.
I'll probably be a UN observer of that game because I really, really can't pull for either one.
Yeah, I won't be disappointed in either direction. I'm one of those, I'd like to be right, just in general, and that's just kind of my general philosophy. I have said, are you a Breaking Bad fan?
Oh, yeah.
So you know when Jesse screams about Walt, he can't keep getting away with this?
Yeah.
I overuse that analogy, but that's my view on the Ravens. The Steelers, I mean. You can't just keep having a terrible offense. You can't just win a game because you blocked another field goal or somebody did something weird and you win 12-6.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just keep doing that in today's NFL. And there they are over 500 every year going to the playoffs, losing in the first round. But they keep doing it. And eventually they need that 4-13 season, but they just won't do it. They won't rebuild. They won't ever just get their teeth kicked in. They're always this, and I'm sick of it. I want the other shoe to drop. So I want to be right about that. And yet here's Mike Tomlin just, you know, keeping it on cruise control at 54 miles an hour in a 55, you know, 9-8, losing the first round.
People I run into, guys especially, that have not watched Breaking Bad, I have such contempt for them. I look at them and I say, why not?
It's so available.
I'm like, it's so good. Now, I admit, here's a fun fact. I didn't start watching it till the series had ended on TV. I resisted.
Oh, so you could go the whole, so you could never
no,
wait?
No, not out of strategy. But when Breaking Bad was so big and shows like Family Guy were mocking it with Peter saying, you must watch Breaking Bad. It's the greatest show ever. Like he's hypnotized, you know? I resisted. Then I started watching and three episodes in, I'm so hooked. But what's crazy is I was watching it And I got to the point after he blew up Gus Fring. Oh, Darius, come on!
No, I've never watched it.
Shame on you. Shame.
I mean, A, so this is kind of his point, is that you need to watch it. But B, I mean, what is it now? Okay, eight years since that happened?
So when that important moment happened.
With the bell?
And he had the iconic line, what happened? I won. I thought the series was over. You know why? Because I had gotten mixed up on my iPad downloads of the episodes. And then I realized, oh, wait, because I went to Wikipedia and I looked at the episode list and I was like, oh, crap, there's like two more seasons.
Yeah.
And once I was on Wikipedia, Danny, I couldn't help but peek at some of the plot lines. And so I self-spoiled.
No.
Some of the plot lines for the most wild, unhinged parts of that show in the final two seasons, which is the dumbest thing I've ever done, but I still enjoyed the show immensely, even though I kind of knew, like, okay, I think I know what's going to happen here. But it's such an amazing show on so many levels. But yeah, he can't keep getting away with it is one of the great all-time recurring memes all-time and thoughts about this, of guys that shouldn't be able to get away with it, yet they do.
100%. So the discussion in hand here with Lamar.
Would you get in the Lamar business? Like, the word is Miami would be perfect.
Yeah, I
back
would.
To his hometown of South Florida. You're going to have to give up multiple ones, easily multiple ones. Is it more than two ones? Given that you have to pay him a lot of money.
That's got to be torn up at first. I don't care who you are. I can't do 74.5 twice.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You're still going to have to pay him a lot of money. You have to give up minimum two ones. Beyond that would be really twisting my arm a lot if I'm the Dolphins. And remember, you're buying a car that's been in the shop a lot. This has got multiple accident, multiple Carfax reports on it. And then you got to wonder, okay, is he going to be super excited and motivated? Like, I'm going to bring glory to the Dolphins. Or is it like, cool, no more socks. I'm in Miami.
It is a buyer. It's a risk, obviously. Yeah. No matter what you do. The reports now that are troubling is the right word. I don't know if you're full Kyler Murray, where they're gonna have to put a clause in his deal that says please study. I don't know.
I don't know who's gonna get in the Kyler Murray business. I don't know who's gonna get in the Tua business. There are some real wild. Does anyone want to get into the Deshaun Watson business?
I think that ship has sailed as poorly as he played.
I think so too.
Right.
But I've thought a lot of things over the years, Danny, where I said, well, I guess I was wrong about that. Yeah. Someone wants to get into it. What? The Jets thought Justin Fields was a viable QB1. Idiots.
Well, I have been the last, like, the building is burning, and I'm going, no, it's not. I'm the last person to acknowledge it.
You're like, it's going to peter out. This part of the building I'm standing in is not in flames.
I hear the alarm, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
Like, I'm the dude that said there's no way Tom Brady leaves New England. And then he left New England and won a Super Bowl somewhere else. Yeah. So I'm still of the, I don't think Lamar's going anywhere. I just, like, it's not like he's 40. He's 28 years old.
Well, I think
multiple-time MVP. If you look at last year, it's all bold ink, Zabe. Nothing but bold ink leading the league in everything you could do. We are not that far removed from should have been the MVP level excellence.
I think you're right, but they got to win on Sunday, and then they probably got to win or at least be relevant in their playoff game to keep both him and Harbaugh there.
And that's where I want to go.
If either one of those two happens, then they're not running it back with both Lamar and Harbaugh.
I'd be
convinced of that.
Let's say they don't. Let's say this back injury. Because here's what I'd want to hear if I'm a Ravens fan. Right now, today, I'd want to hear whoever's speaking from an official standpoint, he's doing everything he can to get back on the field this weekend. We don't know. If I heard that, I would be assuaged to a degree.
Okay.
Right?
Now, words are cheap, though, and NFL teams lie habitually. You
100%.
Know that.
Yeah. But that's all I want to hear at this point is we understand this is a big one. We get that the previous deposits that he's put in, where he played 17 games, 16 games, an MVP caliber performance the last couple years. We understand that, but this one's the latest one. This is a big one because who would want to see us in the postseason? How dangerous are we if we got a fully armed and operational Lamar Jackson with a defense that was garbage in the first half, but now is kind of rounding into form a little bit? We're sneaky. We could bother some people. All I'd want to hear is that he's trying. it doesn't seem to be coming out.
It's not the vibe.
It seems to be more discord.
There doesn't seem to be that urgency. It was like when Burrow said about 4 weeks ago, yeah, if this is not fun meeting pro football, I don't know what's the point of doing it. You can't say that. Like, the rest of the team has to know that the QB1 is fully pot committed to the whole effort, because everyone's livelihoods rides on it. In today's NFL, once that quarterback that can actually do it for you goes down, you are screwed. We saw that acutely right here.
We certainly did. I mean, there's clearly something that's amiss with Lamar Jackson. And I'll point to just one simple number, and that's the rushing total. 63 attempts for 340 yards in 12 games
played. He didn't have a run over 20 yards this year.
That's to me,
Jared Goff has a run over 20 yards this year. That's in the realm of pro. Are you even trying? So, yeah, that's something weird going on.
Something's clearly amiss. So this is a guy that routinely, when he plays, the full season, has been a 1,000-yard rusher two different times, was a 915-yard rusher just last year, again, with a whole bunch of rushing touchdowns to boot. And it's not the Josh Allen goal line rushing stuff. This is long-distance, back-breaking, third and 15s converted. This is hero-type stuff. This is he should have been sacked for loss of 12 but gained 44. He's incredible. That's not happening this year. That total dynamic has been taken away from his game, whether it's something nagging, whether it's something else, I don't know, but
or
it doesn't
maybe
seem
he's
right.
Just not that into being that guy, or a slight combination of 50% this, 50% that, but that's what you're paying him for. That's what you're expecting. I think the best point from this Florio piece on NBC on Pro Football Talk is the absence of an agent creates another practical impediment to the broader relationship. Because sometimes the team has difficult topics that needs to be addressed, and it's one thing to have a buffer and an agent who could take the message from the organization, hey man, lighten up on the call of duty until 2 a.m., and then present that to your client as an agent in a softer, more constructive kind of a way without pissing him off. So in other words, there's no buffer between the most important player and the head coach in the organization, and when they're not seeing eye to eye, it can get dicey.
This is, to me, a rough patch. It's bad. The season has not gone according to plan. That's obvious. That's clear. That's pretty, you know, yeah. I don't know what else to say about that. They got a chance to go to the postseason by beating a very flawed Pittsburgh team this weekend. Maybe all's forgiven, all's forgotten. Let's say they don't. Let's say they, or if they do, and then they get sandblasted in the postseason. Do you really think they could divorce? Do you really think that the Baltimore Ravens start next year with a different quarterback
by
design?
Yes.
How real is this to you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it is a metaphysical certitude is going to happen, I think it's only a 5, but it's with an asterisk because it all hinges on Sunday. It's very hard to fire a coach who's been successful and they like, and a quarterback who's a 2-time MVP if you are in the playoffs and you have the hats and the T-shirts that say division champs, even with a modest record, even with what your expectations are. So I think it all hinges, but it could absolutely happen. In fact, I would argue that if they look bad and the Steelers own them on Sunday, fire Harbaugh and trade Lamar, if you can, for a couple number ones, and you hit that plunger, that reset plunger, kaboomsh, real hard.
So we don't normally do call topics on Baltimore sports.
I mean, you'll get a full bank. I guarantee you, because the purple tide has receded all the way down here to where we sit. But are you sure? Because I'm afraid CK will come home from vacation, drive in here, fire you on the spot, and snap my key card in two and say, we are not talking Ravens.
This
on this station.
This, I suppose.
But
is
that's your call.
I suppose
your
it's
show.
Ravens. Listen, it is Ravens, but it's this. It's a star quarterback who's disgruntled.
Yeah.
Or something. Something's going on. A, do you buy that there's any smoke? So I want to know that. B, the second part of it is, here's my attitude, having been in this wasteland before. Never go to the wasteland. You are inside. You have shelter. You don't risk that there's better shelter somewhere else.
Yeah.
This is the... Trust me, Baltimore, I know quarterbacks place.
There's only
Brian Billick.
I agree with you. You don't want to take the long walk in the woods, as I like to say, when it comes to looking for a quarterback. However, if you're in that warm cabin, if there's a lunatic with a knife trying to kill you inside the cabin, you might have to go outside. If Lamar is so difficult and so much of a pain in the ass and cannot be reconciled with, and he's going to force you to fire the coach, do you want to give the power to Lamar Jackson to say, what's that? Oh, you don't like Harbaugh? You want him fired? Okay. All right. He's fired. You happy now? Like, can you imagine that dynamic? I would never, ever want to give a player that much juice, that much power. That's a recipe for you're going to have more headaches sooner than you know.
Well, I want to dip
into your... But it's their team. It's their team. Good luck.
I want to dip into your Aaron Rodgers experience in that regard here when we come back. 800-636-1067. Do you buy that there's smoke? Or do you buy the smoke here that this could lead to a divorce?
And how much catering to the elite star quarterback should be done? And can you not ignore the fact that in the biggest moments, in the highest stages, the guy chokes big time?
I think that's part of the conversation, too.
You got to consider it all.
That's part of the conversation. 800-636-1067. Talking about name Rainier, who and Lamar Jackson. Just something about Lamar. You know, you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out as you go. I don't know about Harbaugh, though. 800-636-1067, Erwin.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It seems funny in retrospect, Darius, how big a deal this song was and this like collaboration between Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana. It now seems so laughable and eye-rolling. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20.
They came together for one beautiful moment in time and produced this wonderful earworm of a song.
Yeah, but now I...
You look back and go, why? Yeah, why? How did you guys get hooked up
really?
On this one?
And did we need this? Do we need it as bad as I thought?
Well, but it's here. It's a good radio bumper. And
it is.
We're back. I got to close two tabs.
Yeah, do your bit here.
I got to close these two tabs before we go any further. One, I told you off the air about how awful the Rams bone white jerseys
are. By the way, that's what they're called?
Yeah.
Can't we not do that? That's my editorial. Back to you.
The Rams used to have the most simple, beautiful, iconic jerseys ever. And they have way overthought it on multiple fronts. They have like sort of, on the numbers, they have like sort of a glue gun 3D puff paint on the edges of the numbers. The font is weird. They got multiple iterations, but they have these white jerseys that are not white. So if you're watching the game last night, and you're
now in the studio.
If you're watching going, what is that? And people were making jokes about, you know, they had like a tub of dirty dishwater. And they're like, this is the Rams jersey color. Yeah. The bone white. Color inspiration. Off-white, slightly grayish tone meant to evoke the natural keratin color of a ram's horn, and the sandy L.A. coastline tying to the team's identity and location. Shut up! Just get a white jersey.
Yeah.
This is what happens when the design nerds get in there, and they're like, well, we could do this. It's an homage to a ram's horn. Does it look dirty? Yes. Get a better white. Second thing is Guthridge Hall.
Yeah.
Certainly not the luxury accommodations as the Potomac House or Thurston Hall.
No, or Thurston.
Philip Amsterdam Hall.
Thurston is a house of inequity. That's where every freshman lives. And there is some shit.
Guthridge Hall, yeah. Know your halls at GW, mm-hmm. Named after the Guthridge Apartments, the former name of the building before GW purchased it. Yeah, so, in other words, no famous guy, no benefactor, no donor, no war hero, no congressman.
Steve Guthridge.
Not even that. Yeah. It was just the Guthridge apartment. So, I can now close that tab and we are.
Mike Guthridge, right down the hallway. Yeah, I hate the whatever that is with the Rams unis. Like, I'm not a uniform guy. Grant makes fun of me all the time because I don't really care generally.
That's
uniforms
right.
are fine.
Yeah.
But my, I don't, whatever that is, I don't like it.
It ain't it.
Where, in other words, like in English class in high school, you read the story and like there's this tree that dropped a leaf. Like, what does that mean? I have no idea. Nobody does. Yes. You sit there with all your authority telling me that the leaf symbolizes change and the death of it. You don't know that.
Symbolizes. Yeah.
Unless you sat down with the actual author who was like, yeah, man, that leaf meant this, that, and the other
right.
thing. You don't know. And you speak with such, like in math class, when the teacher goes, that plus that equals that. Yep. That checks out. Your thing, it's vagary. It evokes a ram horn. My hairy talent, it does.
Rebrand firms get millions of dollars
yes,
for major NFL rebrands. Do you think they're just going to go, yeah, make it white? No, they're going to create a BS backstory of fluff.
Who's that for?
It reads like the J. Peterman catalog, to be honest with you. It's the Rams horn. Shut up. But just make a white uniform. I will say that the Rams throwback cherry red helmets pop. Oh. So good looking.
The very pair of pants I was returning. I love it. Double play comes up at 3:45. Zabe in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. Welcome back to GND. I want to go into your, give me the years that you were in, fully in Green Bay.
2019 through just October.
So you've got some Aaron Rodgers data points here.
Oh yeah, very much so. And just to tell you yeah. straight off the jump, I was saying back in 19 and 20 when they finally drafted Love and it pissed off Rodgers, I was a Rodgers today, Rodgers tomorrow, Rodgers forever. I was like, ride him until the wheels fall off mm-hmm. and then start over. Don't get cute layering in, well, we need a replacement, so we might as well draft him now and develop. I was also unpopular for saying for 3 years, I was saying, you know, you got a number one pick who's giving you zeros for 3 years. This is not the way to do it. You really can't afford to have number one picks.
I agree with that.
And you're, well, he's learning behind Rodgers, and he's going to be good someday. I'm like, zero, zero, zero. This is not – I'm like, who else is doing this? The only other example was Mahomes, but he only sat for one year.
One season.
So, and nobody's tried to do what they did with Love since for a variety of reasons. You can't take a first-round quarterback and sit him for 3 years.
So two of the years you were there, he was the MVP.
He was. One, the first year was because he was super pissed off and they had a good team and he really bore down and he applied his talents. The second one was the COVID year where the stadiums were either empty or half full mm-hmm. and offenses had about a 15% spike because clearly not having crowd noise for quarterbacks that know what they're doing, calling audibles and protections, benefit from quiet stadiums.
Yeah, working so hard his, counts.
His numbers went up. Other good quarterbacks' numbers went up. And I'm not taking away from him. He had two great years. But I was always like, hey, Rodgers today, Rodgers tomorrow, Rodgers forever. But then I really started to see just the problems with who he became as just a guy who has to be smarter than everybody and craftier than everybody. And I didn't mind the fact that he refused to take the vaccine. That's fine. But he then played around by going, I'm immunized.
Immunized, that whole weirdness.
A little hard count to the media, and the media didn't follow up. The media was embarrassingly bad by not following up. Oh, immunized? Well, I'll take that as a yes. And they just let it roll. So he became more of a problem up there, and it ended badly. I mean, it ended with him pretty much doing what he wanted to do, which was throwing a lot of fade back shoulder stuff, YOLO balls. The game against the Niners in the playoffs in 4 degrees and snow, and I was there in the stands, and it was a great experience. I'll never forget it, but I almost died that night. It was so freaking cold, Danny. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching him come out, and you're looking at him in the stands, and you see a skinny, older dude with his hands in his hand warmers, and in your mind, you're like, this guy can do it. This guy can really get it done. I just got to go down the field, get a field goal, tie the game, where everything's fine. And it was like almost a, it was not a 3 and out, but it was like a 5 and out.
Yeah, I remember being stunned that it didn't happen.
It was like a 5 and out because he just kept saying, all right, Devontae, go out and I'll hit you with it. And he does that ding. And that's kind of what he did in the final minute of the game against, this week against the Browns.
Yep.
It was the same guy. But I understand now dynamically why you can't give even Hall of Famers like Rodgers.
This is where I was going to go.
Can't give them too much power. Rodgers bitched about them getting out of the Jordy Nelson business. Well, he got out of Jordy Nelson just the right time. He played one more year for the Raiders, wasn't very good, and then done.
And
off to his tractor in Kansas. And the great players, and Favre was this way with Chamara. He loved his boy Chewy. But the players want to keep their buddies around, just like anyone who is given the choice. Do you want to work with your buddies or some other guy who might be younger and better? They'll choose their buddies every time. So I wouldn't give any more power to a guy like Lamar Jackson, because it's not going to end well. Let me put it that way.
And that's where I wanted to get to, is that comparison. We are not in late stage Rodgers here. It's probably not even fair to compare the two one-to-one, but here's what's valid about it. Huge contract, all the leverage, a premium position at a guy that's won the MVP a couple different times. These guys are starting to wake up to a degree about how much leverage and power they truly have at the quarterback spot. In so much as in the NBA, it's like if you've had a double-double, you're entitled to $30 million a year.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, right? That's the way the contracts go. And they've longingly looked across at all the leverage that the Kawhi Leonards, LeBron Jameses, rightfully so, by the way, have in terms of contracts, negotiations, and the like. And the only people that could really do that in the NFL are the quarterbacks, because there's any given year, 6, 7, maybe 8 that are good enough to give you a real chance.
Yeah.
Everyone else is a gimmick. Everything else is, that was nice, Sam Darnold. Good for you. You turned it over 11 times in our final week, though. You have an offseason, right? And we'll move on. So they understand that. And he can sign a deal where no one blinked. Of course, you have $74.5 million cap hit for 2 straight years. No problem. We'll deal with that when we get there. Because it was all worth it to
everybody. That's a problem for future us.
Yeah.
That's not current us.
We love the
dumbest thing ever. As if this year was not going to come. As if you weren't going to have to reckon with this. That's wishful contract writing of things will be going so great. We'll have already won a Super Bowl with him by then. And we'll just kumbaya, get a new deal that lowers the cap number and extends our wonderful honeymoon long into the future. Maybe.
So
turned out the other way now.
Yeah, the point.
So now what do you do?
Yeah, so the point would have been, and again, this is not apples to apples because Rodgers was 39 years old, I think, when the divorce finally happened, or somewhere close to it.
By the way, here's another analogy or another point on this. The Packers waited 1 year too long on Rodgers, because his last year they finished 7-9, couldn't beat the Lions in the final week of the season, missed the playoffs. And then it was crap 7, clear the line. If they had traded in the year before, Denver was ready to just pile all kinds of picks to get him. They ended up overspending for Russell Wilson, which they've already dug out from in pretty quick fashion. But what they would have gotten from Rodgers if they had gone 1 year earlier, the thing is they couldn't do it, though, because they
won the MVP.
Well, they won the MVP. They won the MVP, and they were a playoff team, even though they lost in 4 degrees against the Niners, who had basically nobody still healthy at the time. So I would say if you're the Ravens, get out of Lamar while he's still got 2 first-round pick potential.
But I think that would be true for another handful of years, wouldn't it?
It can change quickly.
At 28? I know there's injury.
Do Kyler Murray and Tua have 2 number-one pick potential?
No.
Maybe they never did. But now...
You got 2 MVPs in the bank, and a guy that should have won a third.
I know, but I'm just saying that they paid Tua and Kyler like, yes, they've arrived, they're QB1s, we are set. And now they're going, please, somebody take them.
Will someone come
please,
and take these guys away?
Please, God help us. And then the Deshaun Watson thing. Forget the Deshaun Watson off the field stuff, which is bad enough. It's the on the field play that was absolutely horrific when he was out there.
Of course.
You're like, well, what is he doing? Don't do the stuff you did in Houston. That's what we bought you for. Can you not still do that?
It looks
stuff?
Like you can't, by the way, at this point.
And terrible.
And listen, this is, well, there's a lot of baggage that goes with that, understandably, and what he's accused of, and you know, whatever. However you want to quantify that, it's, of course, horrendous and ungood. But the league ultimately said he's allowed to play. So once time is served, whether you agree with the suspension or not, at the end of the day, once he's allowed to play. So that's where I come in now. Here's me not weighing on anything else, not dismissing it, but saying from the time he's allowed to play, the league said it's fine, so the team's employing him, et cetera. That's going to go down as maybe the worst contract in sports history.
Yeah, everyone's like, yeah, absolutely the worst. Yeah, and it also set a precedent. And part of the holdout with Lamar was that he didn't get fully guaranteed money, nor did Kyler Murray, after Deshaun Watson got it, because the league freaked out and they pretty much said, without putting it in writing,
we ain't doing that again.
No. Nobody gets the fully guaranteed deals. Nobody. And that was even before it went south. They just didn't like the concept or the principle of that. And if you're an owner, I understand why.
I certainly do. And Cleveland still, by the way, desperate for a quarterback.
Yeah.
That position remains unsolved.
And for the Commanders, I went through the list of the other teams that are swimming in the 3-win pool right now with the Commanders 3-4 win pool. We're in the best shape of all of them because we don't have to worry about the coach or the quarterback. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Although we spent a lot of time yesterday.
I know. Every other team, though, has a real either question at quarterback, at coach, or they know they're shopping like the Giants are, and they're not fully sure their quarterback.
Coach-wise, I was a lot more sure last year than I was.
Oh, really?
After this year.
You are not at all close to the let's change Quinn out this offseason.
No. But the topic we actually had yesterday, Kedrick Olsen was sitting in, and my point was people that just kind of go, it's injuries, and they don't want to hear about anything else. I'm going, no, hold on so fast. We got a lot of data points here that say it's not just that this is bad enough. This year to me was such a negative withdrawal or deposit in the bad bank, however you want to quantify it, that it's fair to have the conversation. I'm not doing it.
Right.
But it's not off the table.
No, there's a reason why you can't just say injuries to excuse things in the NFL, because there's always going to be injuries. And there'll always be excuses. This guy got hurt. We got screwed by the refs on replay in week 5. The league knows if you're going to be an excuse team, you're never going to take accountability for, are we winning? And there are teams like the Niners this year who have plowed through unbelievable injuries.
No Bosa, Warner, no Ayuk with a pick.
Kittle in and out. Ayuk went crazy off the reservation. They had to put Mac Jones in for 4 or 5 weeks. So they've powered through it. And they were in cap hell to begin the year after last year ended. So it's not an excuse league. And there's been other examples of really decimated teams injury-wise that were right there to do something. Lions were that team decimated by injuries 2 years ago, and they didn't get it done.
And even last year.
Last year they had some injuries, not as many as the year before. It's not a league for excuses.
And I understand you're not going to be as good. I understand the schedule was tougher. You can't be 4-12 bad, getting outscored by 100 points over the course of a month. That's Steve Zabin. I'm Danny Ruye. This is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Coming up, our double play. We will find out over the Christmas break, how much weight did Danny gain?
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. It is double play time. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Darius, get that game show music ready. It's time to play How Much Weight Did Danny Gain? So it goes like this. If you're familiar with the program, Zabe, I will generally try to be less fat. I work very hard at it. I have the metabolism of a sloth in a headwind going uphill in molasses. I am disgusting.
I disagree with you on that. You're a former Division I baseball player.
Exceptionally former, though. Very former. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You got the frame of an athlete, and you're in not terrible shape.
You are kind to say that.
And you were once Mr. EMP 180 with the old Grant.
One time.
Which he called Empty 180.
You're empty the whole time.
Man. Running on empty, baby.
You know who's hungry is us. But so what happens all is right. I operate on the straight and narrow like 99% of the time, right? And I do really, really well. And then something will happen. Like we go to Pupatella and they're like, hey, here's all the pizza and here's dough covered in Nutella and here's appetizers that's fried cheese. And I gain a million pounds and it's gross.
Pupatella is outrageously good.
Fantastically good. When I go on vacation, the governors come off. and it gets bad. I have all sorts of highlights. I gained over 18 pounds in 4 days in New Orleans once.
That, no.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
That's what you would think.
To channel my inner Steve Buckhands. No! Not possible!
Shout out Michael Rutt.
Not possible!
As a quick side story to that, if you haven't heard this before, weeks later, after I'd gotten back from New Orleans, and our buddy Christian, who runs Brennan's down there, fattened me up like a hog for show. We were doing a show at Nats Youth Academy, right, for their annual Academy Day where the players come over there. And our buddy Ryan Zimmerman, who we got to know really well over the years, does the interview, says, you know, fare thee well, have a good one, pauses by the door, and he goes, by the way, did you really gain 18 pounds in 4 days?
That was actually a note that stuck in his head.
And
that's
I said, yes. And he said, that's bleeping disgusting, and slammed the door.
So what was it? Okay, I know because I was down there last year, as I believe you guys were as well, and I discovered beignets.
Beignets will do it to you.
Yeah, there was a
Benny's. That's still in powdered sugar.
Yes. There was a Benny's beignets little pop-up shop right at the foot of our hotel that I would get every morning after we were done doing the show. And I'm like, this is outrageous. They are pretty much thick biscuits doused in powdered sugar.
Pretty much, yeah.
If a whole funnel bag cake,
a biscuit, and a croissant had a tryst.
Yes, but so hot and so delicious and so amazing and so bad for you. So that was one of your go-tos. The jambalaya, I assume, was one of your go-tos.
All things buttercream.
Did you get out jambalaya'd? Well, did you exhaust yourself on that down there?
Yeah, everything that you could have.
I had 4 days in a row jambalaya, and I was like, oh, I can't have this anymore.
And then someone puts a bowl in front of you and you go, okay,
fine. All right, one more wafer thin. Come on.
I had a serving of bread pudding meant for five people, and I did it three times. The chef stopped preparing food, and they came out because they wanted to see the oddity. That was the never-ending story. That was my eating.
Somebody said to me when we were down there last year in New Orleans, after dinner, they just shook his head and he said, boy, Zion never stood a chance down here.
Worst place he could have gone.
I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Seriously.
Poor guy. All right, so 18 pounds in 4 days.
That's one of the records. I've had a two-week vacation where I gained over 20 pounds at the beach, et cetera.
How much have you lost in a week? Do you have a record for shedding?
Yeah, I'm a fluctuator, but it's more of a chip away than it is the insta-gain.
Well, you shouldn't be losing or gaining a lot in a rapid amount of time anyway.
My best weight loss week is like 5.4 pounds.
Okay, may I ask what you weigh yourself on? What kind of scale?
I forget what it's called, but it's a fancy scale. It's a glass. It's got that clear thing.
Many years ago, I bought one of those doctor's scales with the sliders on it.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is, they seem so crude and primitive, but whatever it is, the mechanism on it does not fail. Like,
no, it's
the most accurate scale you can have. So it is the scale of truth. So when you're trying to lose a few pounds, if you see it slide down by a pound and a half, you're like, yeah, that's real. This is a real doctor's scale that I got many, many years ago. And then if you gain 2 or 3 pounds, you can complain about the call to the referees all you want, but they're moving on. They're like, no, you're up 3 pounds. It is what it is.
The digital ones, the guy was wearing my watch, so the gravitational pulls off.
Right, or I was on the edge of the digital scale, so it therefore recorded differently. No, you can't get away with it on the full scale.
All right, so let me involve...
So you have a digital scale.
Yeah, so let me...
Fancy digital?
It's fancy pants.
Does it do the body composition?
Because
they're selling those now.
Yeah, it does, and I don't know how accurate it is, but over time, you have a pretty good feel.
You are 12% beignets. Pull back.
Yeah, you're ragu now, fatty. So I had a week where I ate whatever was put in front of me. I didn't exercise much. I took the baby for a 1.7-mile walk and a 1-mile walk over the course of the week. That's about it. It got too cold, too miserable. Anybody have any questions before we enter the guesses for how much weight I gained over the course
of the week?
Was
there a large family dinner?
Yes, multiple. Oof. Multiple family.
What was served? What style of food? Italian?
We did a beef tenderloin with some. What was that one? That was the mashed potato situation, which was unbelievable. A lot of butter, a lot of rolls. Some sourdough bread was involved.
Okay.
We had ham multiple times. Oof. Christmas hams, the honey baked ham situation.
What is the cookie content?
Chocolate and chip, and many.
So lots of holiday cookies around.
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Questions, boys?
Darius, what do you got for me?
I've got my first question here.
Yep.
Danny,
yep.
By your standards, would you say that you pigged out?
This is a great question. Yes is the answer. Yes
wow.
is the answer.
Wow.
I went ham, no pun intended. I went nuts. And I've done so. That's a fair question, Zabe. Because in the past, I've like kind of tried to just I've veered a little bit, and I've still gained weight.
I feel like Danny, you should do this in coach press conference style, where the question is asked, right. and then you give the coach answer. Well, look, you know, we have certain eating situations that we're always going to have in our system, but you know, we just kind of go by the flow of the holiday. We don't really say ahead of time what we're going to do. It might have gotten away from us early, but we feel like we did a pretty good job. Next question. That guy.
How many cookies did you have? Well, it's more than we wanted. Obviously, it wasn't the game plan. Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Darius, what do you got?
Just other dessert content that you took.
Funfetti cake. There was a piece of funfetti cake at my brother and sister in law's.
Sounds incredible.
And there were also pumpkin squares, which were like pound cake, but with pumpkin involved in a way. And they also had chocolate chips in them.
My God.
Yeah. These are different nights, not just one sitting. Wesley Financial, any questions about getting out of timeshares or?
Nah, more of a observer.
Okay.
So I already have my guest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
What's your observation?
10.
Wait, you're just guessing?
10 pounds.
Oh, you just jumped right in. Just guess 10 pounds. All right. Anybody have any other questions before we get to the guesses?
They were good.
We're all good?
All right. Very well. So, Zabe, guess for you.
I'll go 7.
7 pounds.
A reasonable 7 pounds.
In 1 week. All right.
A little low.
Christian Darrisaw, what are you in for?
I'm going to go 9.5 pounds. 9.5 pounds.
Darius knows his guy. That's 9.5 pounds. Wesley gained, guess 10 even. Ryan, what's your guess?
I'm going to go with 8.6.
8.6 for Ryan. Ryan is in at 8.6. Then we don't have anybody else on the show today, right? That's everyone. All right, here we go. And here are your totals. I was at a place that's not great, to be honest with you, before this whole thing started. I weighed in before whatever day we went somewhere and we had food, right? So I think this was a pre-Pupatella situation because I was going to be off. I can't remember exactly what it was. A little higher than I wanted to start, all right? 216.8 to start. That's a 216.8 starting place. That's not good. It's not where I want to be. And certainly better, though, than the 233.3 pounds I ended up at.
For a grand total of, who can't do math,
16.5 pounds, boys.
Oh, my God, the humanity! 16 pounds for Christmas! That's unbelievable!
The onesies didn't fit. The nice pants I had for Christmas dinner didn't fit anymore.
You absolute hog, you.
You big back, disgusting wildebeest.
You guys should bring in like a blue ribbon and just stick it on him and then go, what are you doing this for? Oh, we're taking you to State Fair.
I know we've got a break, but listen to me. Let me tell you this one thing. You mentioned the digital scale and if it's not accurate. I go, oh, that can't be right.
There's got to be a glitch.
I changed the batteries.
You're like, I want a new battery.
And it read 233.3.
That is something else. So what's the plan now? You got one more day to eat, and then Thursday it's on.
Oh, I fasted last night, and then my kids made monkey bread. Ryan and I worked out earlier, so I'm sure that'll do it. Beltway Blitz is next on The Fan.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.